In the name of the living God, creating, redeeming, and sustaining. Amen. Amen. When I served the first parish I served as a priest in Huntington Beach, we had an ongoing mission in Tanzania, of all places. We partnered with the Diocese of Mount Kilimanjaro, and there was a woman who for many years had worked with Bishop Stanley Hote of this diocese to feel out what the needs of the people were in this place. And in the Diocese of Mount Kilimanjaro was a remote village called Induputo. And there were hundreds of Maasai children scattered across the steppe there, the Maasai steppe. And they were almost all uneducated. And so the diocese and the people of the Maasai steppe had this dream of educating their children. And so our parish, along with some other parishes, helped to build a school. And it started with one room, and that one room filled to overflowing. And so then there was another room, and then it filled, that room filled to overflowing, and it kept going until there were four classrooms. And those children would walk for miles every day to receive an education. Well, our youth group grew up hearing about these children at Induputo, and they had a dream to go to Africa themselves to meet the children. Now, global missions have changed dramatically in the past several decades. Many of us, including myself, when I hear the word missions, I think about people going armed with their Bibles to share the good news of Christ with those who don't yet know it. And that, by and large, has changed because the good news is spread all over the land in many ways. And also, we're aware now of the liabilities and costs of colonialism. So today, the Global Episcopal Mission Network's stated core values are humility, inclusion, and companionship. So now when missionaries enter the field, it's much like Calvary's mission states. We humbly collaborate with our global neighbors to realize God's beloved community. So from 2010 to 2011, the youth group at St. Wilfrid's sent a pair of missionaries to find out what the felt needs were for the children of Induputo. And instead of those missionaries saying, well, I think the school needs this or this, imposing their values on the school, they asked, well, what do you need? And if you go to the Maasai steppe, it's arid and dusty. There's not a lot of rain most of the year. And sometimes girls and women walk miles to go and get water. They'll carry it on their heads, miles and miles. And when the drier it is, the further they walk. And so what the school teachers most wanted were rainwater collection tanks to collect the water that fell from March through May. Huge rainwater collection tanks. And the kids wanted soccer balls and nets. So the youth partnered with the adults and Cheryl, the head missionary, and we helped to purchase and install these massive, massive rainwater collection tanks. And they had then fresh, drinkable water that lasted for months after the rainy season. It was next that finally the youth group decided, let's do this. Take our first global mission trip. So in 2011, we went. I, with five adults and seven teenagers, we assembled our safari gear and we flew all the way to Tanzania. We talked about how mission has changed, how it's about collaboration, humility, and inclusion. So we raised the money to buy the materials to build the soccer field. We bought the nets, the replacement nets, dozens of soccer balls, ways to keep them inflated. What I didn't expect was how traditional missions, the sharing of good news, would happen on our trip. One of our first stops was to a Maasai family who'd become friends with our adult missionaries over years and years. and they invited us to dinner at their home. In Tanzania, the Maasai people live in what are called bomas. It's basically sticks, mud, and cow dung shaped into a home. And so we all crowded into this one room that was their home, and we discovered that the food we were given for dinner was one of the only goats they owned. They slaughtered it for us. And then as we ate on the dirt floor, the women and the girls started to take off their jewelry. I thought, what's happening next? And they placed it on all of the women and girls in our group. They gave us their jewelry. The next day, it was time to travel to the school. So we loaded the soccer field materials, the big bag of soccer balls. It took us a couple of hours of bumping along in these off-road vehicles. There are no roads out to Indaputo. They just know the dirt. They know what the local landmarks around them and how to get there. So finally, there was this little yellow dot way in the distance, and I realized that was the school. We got closer and closer, and then I saw all this brightly colored fabric and beautiful children stepping out in song. And so we got out of our vehicles, and all these little hands were placed on our backs and on our hands and reaching out to welcome us. And the sound of hundreds of children singing and dancing, they were jumping up and down like this, all together in step. Now, the words of the song they sang were in Maasai. I don't know still what they were singing to this day, but Psalm 100 captures the spirit. Be joyful in the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness and come into God's presence with a song. Know this, the Lord is God, the one who made us and to whom we belong. So we spent that whole day learning from the students about their life at the school, and we together put together the soccer goals with the nets, and then that day at the school came to a close, and all of us played soccer. Now, the most stunning part about this mission trip to me was that the old paradigm of missions was turned completely upside down. We traveled to Tanzania, and the people of God shared with us the good news of God in Jesus Christ. They taught us hospitality and love and joy in ways many of us, if not all of us, had never experienced before. So in today's gospel, we're given a picture of Jesus doing mission and sending out his first missionaries. It's a wonderful scene. Jesus is teaching. He's proclaiming good news. He's healing the sick. He's offering healing and grace. And he looks upon the crowds and he sees that they are like sheep without a shepherd. And that's when he says, okay, disciples, you're going out. Now, it's very interesting in the Gospel of Matthew where Jesus sends the people. He doesn't send the missionaries to far away and distant lands at first, not even to the Samaritan village next door. Jesus sends the first missionaries out among their own people. And this is what he tells them to do. Proclaim the good news. The kingdom of God has come near. Last May, I went on a trip with all of my very best friends. Ginger, Katie, Lydia, they know my story. They know about Tanzania. And they were all here at Calvary when I was installed as rector. Two of these three best friends of mine don't attend church, and they never really have. And they didn't grow up in the church. And while I had invited them to church in the past, and they've come to church in the past, one of my friends said to me over brunch that on that May vacation, so I know church is important to you, clearly, but I'm interested in understanding, and you've never really told me why it's so important to you. had never told my best friend why church is really important to me and why my relationship with God is really important to me. That was a gut punch. I've devoted my life to the joy of this good news. And I realize I've never truly shared it or articulated it to one of my very best friends in the world. And so I joyfully shared. But I realized that day that the good news that spoke to me in Tanzania was not fully speaking through my life. Even as a priest in the church. But I did thank God that the Holy Spirit led my friend Katie to ask and me to share. Go among yourselves, proclaim the good news. Do our lives speak? I believe for this to happen, it's necessary for us to be in relationship with the Holy Spirit. And I believe from what I learned from the Maasai people that living life as spreaders of good news means rooting ourselves in the practice of gratitude. The people I met in Tanzania, they clearly understood that everything is a gift from God. And no possession, not the clothes or the jewelry that they wear, not the animals that feed them, not the song in their hearts, is meant to be hoarded or simply shared or enjoyed privately. These people freely gave, joyfully shared, no fear. Sharing with my best friend after 20 years of by and large keeping it to myself felt a little bit like how I imagined those children felt when they sang and how the family felt as they fed us. What's something about your faith that you treasure? Is it that God loves you freely and unconditionally? Is it that you can return over and over again to the altar of God and be reminded every week that you are forgiven, that you are fed by grace? Is it the music that stirs the mystery of God in and through and beyond the words and the tunes? Is it the community? Familiar faces that you can always count on seeing even if you leave for a while and return? Is it that you belong to something much bigger than yourself? That you are known and held and respected as a member of the body of Christ? What is it about your faith that brings you joy? And if you're really not sure, ask God through Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to lead you to a greater knowledge and love of God. Because truly in this day and age, in this country, we are living among and often are like sheep without a shepherd. Today's call is to experience and then share good news in thought, in word, in deed, among our very own people, our family, our friends, our neighbors in our building or on our block. And if we don't know how to share and don't know what to say, we can trust that if we are intent on doing it, the Spirit will give us everything we need to do it. Though sometimes it takes traveling halfway around the world to realize it, the kingdom of God has come near. Amen.